हरे कृष्ण। I am very grateful to all of the assembled devotees for allowing me to make some attempt to be of some small service this evening by repeating the message of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and our beloved previous acharyas in the supremely holy land of Sri Mayapur Dham. Today in our parikrama, devotees went on a Harinam Sankirtan procession to Srivas Angam, the home of Srivas Thakur. Vrindavan Das Thakur, in his Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, he writes that just as Krishna was born in the house of Vasudev and Devaki, but performed his most intimate pastimes at the house of Nanda Maharaj in Gokul, similarly, Krishna, who has appeared as Lord Chaitanya, he took his birth in the house of Sachi Devi and Jagannath Mishra, but performed his most intimate pastimes at the house of Srivas Thakur. It is the Rasastali of Lord Chaitanya's Leela. There is no difference between Navadvip and Vrindavan. They are identical. However, in Navadvip, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are Krishna and Balaram, they open the doors to Vrindavan and invite even the most unqualified people from all over the world to enter into what is ordinarily only for a very confidential circle of the highest devotees. Therefore, Navadvipa is Audarya Dham, non-different than the Madhurya Dham of Braj, Bhumi, but extending itself to welcome everyone in this age of Kali Yuga. Therefore, Rupa Goswami has prayed, Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaudatveshe Namaha. It appears to be a contradiction. He is praying that Lord Chaitanya, most munificent, most merciful of all incarnations, although he is Krishna himself, he's even more merciful than Krishna. Does that make sense? How can Krishna be more merciful than Krishna? On the spiritual platform, all contradictions are resolved when we understand the principle of love and mercy. Radha Bhava Duti Subalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupa. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, who has come to taste the sweetness of the love of his compassionate energy, the reservoir and source of all love, Srimati Radharani. And he has come into this age of Kali to distribute that love to anyone who will accept it through his Nam Sankirtan movement. Nam Sankirtan has always been the process of self-realization for the age of Kali. Previous to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's descent, the Vaishnavas were constantly performing Nam Sankirtan. You see, the Lord sent his eternal associates before him to set the stage. They took birth in various places, but by the Lord's will, they all congregated in Srinavadvipa. Srivas had three brothers, Sri Ram, Sripati, Sri Nidhi. In the house of Srivas, they were constantly performing Harinam Sankirtan. But they were only criticized by the atheistic people of Navadvipa. Nobody wanted to take the name of Krishna. People were immersed in scholarship, Karmakanda, Jnanakanda, some yogis, Astangakanda. But in the age of Kali, there's no other way attaining love of God except through Nam Sankirtan. Kalerdo sandideira janasti heko mahan guna kirtanadi va krishnasya mukta sanga param rajet. Kali Yuga's ocean of faults. There's only one benediction in Kali Yuga. That simply chanting Krishna's holy names, one can attain the perfection of liberation. Through other processes, we can attain piety. We can attain mystic powers. We may attain great wealth and influence in this world, good health, long life, maybe even liberation. But Prema Pumartha Mahan, the real goal of life, love of God, is accessible through this age, through Krishna's Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna avatar, through his incarnation as his holy name. In Fuliagram, Haridas Thakur was chanting 300,000 names a day, meditating and praying with every name. Krishna, please descend. Only you could deliver the people of this Kali Yuga. Sri Advaitacharya was fasting, offering tulsi leaves, Ganges water, praying from his heart of hearts, crying out so that so loudly the Lord could hear him in Goloka for Krishna to appear. Srivas Thakur and his associates and family were in Srivasangam doing kirtan with the prayer constantly for Krishna to come down and rescue these unfortunate souls. This is amazing. They had each other. They had the most wonderful sangam of devotees. And they were in ecstasy. But seeing anyone else suffering in forgetfulness of Krishna brought pain to their heart. That is a great Vaishnava. But that pain of compassion for others on a spiritual platform is a type of ecstasy. Why? Another apparent contradiction. How can pain be pleasure? In the material world, there are two different things. How can suffering simultaneous be ecstasy? The Srimad Bhagavatam explains, when you water the root of the tree, every part of the tree is satisfied. Samsidhir Hari Toshinam. The happiness of the soul is pleasing Krishna. When you please Krishna, your soul rejoices. When you displease Krishna, your soul is asleep. It's under the influence of suffering. So the pleasures of this world give pain to the heart. But what pleases Krishna gives pleasure to the heart, ecstasy. So Krishna is pleased, paradukaduki, when someone takes pain and seeing the pains of others on the spiritual platform. So all of these devotees suffering, crying, seeing so many people wasting their valuable human lives without Krishna consciousness. And they weren't idle. They were really trying to do something about it. But they were powerless. Only if Krishna comes can it be done. So because the suffering of their heart to see the ignorance of others, that was so pleasing to Krishna, it was actually giving them ecstasy. I hope that makes sense. Actually, it doesn't make sense. But the greatest things in life do not make sense. Material sense. To go beyond the purview of our limited intelligence, we must take shelter of faith. Faith to see what is invisible through the eyes of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Guru and Sadhu and Shastra is Krishna's merciful words manifesting to the world through this process. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to the chanting of the holy name during the eclipse. We spoke some of Lord Chaitanya's early childhood pastimes yesterday until time expired. As Lord Chaitanya grew, he became Nimai Pandit, the greatest scholar that the world has ever seen. Such a scholar, Keshav Kashmiri, the Digvijay Pandit, who had conquered every scholar on earth practically. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu easily defeated him without crushing his pride. Keshav Kashmiri understood this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Saraswati revealed it to him. He was so highly celebrated. And the devotees would try to preach to him, Nimai, if you become a devotee, the whole world will become a devotee. Take the name of Krishna. And Nimai would debate with them on the basis of academic scholarship and defeat them. They would try to run away, but he would grab them and catch them. Everyone except Srivas. Srivas would see Lord Chaitanya and he would say, why are you wasting this valuable human form of life in the pursuit of mundane education? Do you not understand that whatever you learn on this basis is all going to be vanquished with death? Why not seek out that which is eternal, that which is everlasting, the Lord of your heart, Sri Krishna? Lord Chaitanya did not argue with Srivas. He touched his feet, put the dust on his head, and said, by the blessings of a Vaishnav like you, someday I will be a devotee. Now, the devotee's constant prayer was, if Krishna, if you only make Nimai a devotee, He will expand the glories of Nam Sankirtan. He's so beautiful, so attractive, so powerful in every way. He went to Gaya and there accepted initiation from one of the prominent disciples of Madhavendra Puri, Sripad Ishwara Puri. When he served his guru with love and devotion, received the mantra from his guru, and received the order from his guru to take this Nam Sankirtan movement and preach it throughout the world, then he revealed his mission. Then his ecstatic love was manifested. When he returned to Navadvip, this was the greatest pleasure. Do you know what Srivas Thakur's first words were when he heard that Lord Chaitanya had become a devotee like nobody else? He's experienced and exhibiting symptoms of ecstatic love like the world has never seen. You see, what happened is Sriman Pandit, one great devotee, was at Lord Chaitanya's house when he first arrived from Gaya. Lord Chaitanya was praying, crying, "Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? I saw him. He appeared before me, but then he left me. Where is Krishna?" But he was saying it with so much emotion, so much depth. Torrents of tears pouring from his eyes. Every morning, all the devotees would gather together near Srivas's house, where there was vines of Malati flowers, and they would pick those flowers to offer to their deities. And Srivas Thakur was told while he was picking the flowers, "You won't believe what I have seen. Gauranga has become a devotee. He's constantly chanting Krishna's names now." And Srivas Thakur was in bliss. And his words were, "Now may our family increase unlimitedly." That was the mood of Vaishnav. So Lord Chaitanya started to perform kirtan with his devotees. So beautiful, so sweet. But the people of Navadvip, who were atheistic, and even the smarta Brahmins, who were very proud of their position, their scholarship, literally, they hated Vaishnavas. They persecuted Vaishnavas. At one time, they all gathered together, and they were talking amongst each other, that this Srivas and his brothers, they are the cause of all this deviation. In their house, not only all day long, all night long, they're screaming out God's names. What, do they think God is deaf? They think he can't hear them? He's in their heart. They could do their meditation silently. What is this loud screaming? And besides that, it is Chaturmasya now. The Lord is sleeping. They're screaming so loud, they'll wake him up. He'll be so angry. He may destroy the universe because of Srivas. He's a hypocrite. We know why he's screaming so loud. Because he's just a vagabond, him and his brothers. They don't work properly. They don't earn money. Because they're hungry. They're screaming in pain all night.
And what they do behind those closed doors, we have heard. So many obscene, immoral activities. And now, the Mughal king has sent two boats full of soldiers to Navadweep because he heard about this loud chanting. They're going to plunder our families, our homes, because of Srivas. We should break down his house. We should throw it in the Ganges. We should tie up Srivas and his brothers and throw them in the ground at the feet of these soldiers and let them be beaten. The fact was, there was two boats of soldiers coming to Navadweep to investigate about this loud chanting of Hindu names, which was outlawed. The devotees, they were feeling, we are doing Krishna's will. If Krishna wants to protect us, he will protect us. If he wants to kill us, what is the harm, as long as he is pleased with us? But Srivas Thakur, he was thinking about what may happen to all the other devotees because of him. He was hosting these kirtans at his house and inspiring them. So he felt very grave concern for the other Vaishnavas because the boats were on their way. So he went into his deity room and was offering prayers and pujas to Lord Narasimhadev to protect the Vaishnavas. Meanwhile, Lord Chaitanya was casually walking along the banks of River Ganga. The atheistic people saw him. What is he? He's one of them. He used to be a nice, intelligent scholar. Look at what Srivas has done to him. He's ruined his consciousness. Even he's one of these sentimental fanatics just chanting God's names. What has happened to him? And the boats are coming. And he looks like he's so peaceful. We know what he's doing. He's just pretending to be peaceful, but in his heart, he's scared like anything, and he's just going to secretly escape from Navadweep and let us all be tortured. The Lord heard it and kept walking. But then he saw a herd of cows. There were little calves who were jumping up and down with their tails raised into the air. And they were butting each other in the heads. And there were other cows that were licking each other and sitting nicely, chewing on the grass. And others were jumping and leaping, very happy. And when Lord Chaitanya saw that, he remembered his identity as Gopal of Vrindavan and went into ecstasy. He screamed out, "I am he! I am he!" and ran right to the house of Srivas. Srivas was doing his Narasimha Puja behind the closed doors. Lord Chaitanya kicked the door. Poof, poof, poof. "Srivas! Srivas! It is me!" And Srivas was wondering, what's this? Poof, poof, poof. These doors being kicked. He called out, "Whom do you worship? That person is now standing before you." Srivas opened his door, and there he saw Lord Chaitanya revealing his supreme opulence with four arms as the Lord of Vaikuntha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, "Please worship me, offer prayers."
Srivas said, for so many days, you have been living in Navadvip, and we didn't even recognize who you are. But now I see, you are the worshipable Lord of our life. I can see you standing before me now. You have a peacock feather in your hair. You have a complexion like a dark moon's, like dark monsoon cloud. Your eyes like blooming lotus petals. Your lips red like the rising sun. You are holding your flute, standing with three bends in your body. My Lord, you are the Lord of Vrindavan, the reservoir of all rasas, who has descended to take his residence in Navadvip, only to establish within the world the Harinam Sankirtan movement. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he told Srivas that, yes, I am the Lord that you have been praying for and longing for. Srivas was so humble. Said, I'm such a fool. I treated you like a regular person. Not only that, sometimes I would meet you at the Ganges and you would offer to wash my clothes and I let you wash my clothes. And then you would dry them and fold them. You'd even bring them home for me. My Lord, it is your great desire to be the servant of the servant of your devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you are Lord Krishna, you are Lord Rama, you are Varaha, you are Vamanadev. And now you have appeared as a son of Sachi Devi. Srivas Thakur wept, tear after tear after tear, in love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, bring your wife, bring your children, bring all your relatives, all your servants and maidservants. They all came, and Lord Chaitanya manifested his eternal spiritual form to all of them. And they all were received his lotus feet on top of their head. Then Lord Chaitanya said to Srivas, do not be afraid of these Mughal soldiers that are coming. Yes, they are coming on two boats. But if I do not prompt them to harm you, how can they harm you? I will stop them. But if they act independent of me, I will go and be the first person to board the boat. And I will tell the king, I am the king of all kings, get off of your throne. And if he fails to do that, then I will say, king, bring all your priests, bring all your scholars, bring the mullahs, bring the qazis, and then bring the elephants and the deers and the dogs and all the other animals and birds. And have them recite from their scripture and make the animals cry in ecstasy. And they will try. And they will fail. And then I will tell the king, you just watch what I will do. And I will go into the forest and grab the tail of a wild elephant and bring him into the courtyard of the king. And then I'll bring the deers and the dogs and the cats and the birds and the snakes and everyone else. And I will begin Nam Sankirtan. And all the animals will start weeping in ecstasy and roll on the ground. And then the king will fall off his
throne, weeping in ecstasy and roll on the ground. And then all the mullahs and all the qazis and all his soldiers will fall to the ground, weeping and weeping in ecstatic love, chanting the holy names. Do you believe me, Srivas? If not, watch what I will do. Then the Lord turned and saw in the corner of the room was Srivas Thakur's 4-year-old niece. Her name, Narayani. Lord Chaitanya turned to her and said, Narayani, chant Krishna's name and cry in ecstasy. The simple little girl, suddenly, from her heart of hearts, she cried out, Krishna, 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 Krishna. Torrents of tears poured from her eyes, her limbs trembled, her hair stand on end, and she fell to the ground in ecstatic love. When Srivas Thakur saw that, he leaped in the air. He said, my Lord, I have no fear. As long as I have you and your holy name, then even when you appear as time personified to destroy the entire cosmic manifestation, I will be blissfully chanting your holy names. Lord Chaitanya said, Srivas, because of your faith in my word, even if that date comes when Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, loses all her wealth and has to take to the streets with a begging bowl to beg for her subsistence, there will never be shortage of anything in your house because of your faith in my word. That was the first revelation of Srivas Thakur and his family, that Nimai of Navadvip was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A great lesson of this story is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave his darshan and gave ecstatic love of God to even the maidservants and servants of Srivas Thakur, because he wanted to show the world that there is no higher position than being the servant of a Vaishnava. Due to karma or whatever, we may be in all sorts of various conditions. We may be a king, but Lord Chaitanya taught that millions and millions and millions of kings who live for millions and millions and millions of yugas, they cannot understand Krishna. But one simple little maidservant of Srivas Thakur understands Krishna perfectly because of their sincerity to serve the Vaishnavas. To have the blessings and the love of a devotee is the most precious wealth that one can achieve in this world. Because the love of a devotee is the love of Krishna manifesting through his or her heart. Many, many wonderful pastimes, unlimited pastimes took place in Srivasangam. One day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told the devotees, we're doing kirtan all day, but we're wasting the whole night sleeping. Human life is so rare. Every moment is so precious.
Srila Prabhupada quotes Chanakya Pandit that there's nothing more valuable than every moment we have in our human life.
Because if you waste a moment, you cannot buy that moment back with all the wealth of Indra. So why we waste our time? We should just do kirtan all night long as well. And then he gave instructions how we will be able to do kirtan all night long and all day long.
Trinadapi sunichena taror ibasihishnana amani namana dena kirtaniya sadahari. Now, during the kirtans at Srivasa's house, the devotees were manifesting such symptoms of divine love. But Lord Chaitanya was in the mood of a devotee.
On very rare occasions, he would reveal his divine opulences as Bhagavan.
But he came to teach the world primarily by his example. If anyone called him God, he would hold his ears and scream out, Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu.
Nothing could ever pollute my heart or anybody's heart worse than thinking that they're God.
Hare Krishna. Now the impersonalists, the Mayavadis, their goal of life is to become God.
Lord Chaitanya's teaching, there is nothing that can pollute the heart worse than the misconception of thinking that I'm God. Do not pollute me by tempting me with this idea.
Because you see, the whole desire to enjoy, to control, is we want to imitate God, who is the controller and the enjoyer of everything.
So in the role of a devotee, he would take the dust of the feet of all the Vaishnavas and cry out Krishna's holy names and induce everyone to worship Krishna. And he led the way. But on rare occasions, for a few minutes only, he would go into an ecstasy and sit on the throne of Vishnu, and then he would get down again.
But today we will describe for some time one of the most amazing pastimes that has ever been manifested in this universal creation,
where Lord Chaitanya for 21 hours fulfilled every desire of every one of his devotees in the mood of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is called the Sat Praharayala Bhava or Mahaprakash Lila.
With your permission.
Like any other day, in the morning, he came to the house of Srivas. Mukunda Dat was there, Adwaitacharya, Gadadhar Pandit, Haridas Thakur, all were assembled. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu induced them to begin kirtan. He started to dance. Suddenly, he entered into a mood that devotees have never seen him in before. Just by looking at him, they could understand something extraordinary is about to happen. The Lord then went on the altar of Srivasa's house, sat on the throne of Lord Vishnu.
Then he said to the kirtan leaders,
sing the Abhishek song. So they knew exactly what he meant. They went to the Ganga. Were bringing many, many pots of water. As they were singing the song, Nityananda Prabhu was the first to pour Ganges water over Lord Chaitanya. And then Gadadhar Pandit and Advaitacharya and all others were helping. Now, generally for a standard Abhishekam, 108 pots of Ganges water are utilized. But the devotees were so enthusiastic, and Lord Chaitanya was so accommodating. Thousands and thousands of buckets of Ganges water, pots, were brought, and they kept bathing him and bathing him and bathing him. And the servants and maidservants of the house of Srivas were running to the Ganges as fast as they could and bringing the pots, big heavy pots, and putting them down in nice lines and going back and putting another. Lord Chaitanya happened to see one simple maidservant. She was bringing the pots completely in the background. The senior Vaishnavas, they were all there, right, surrounding Lord Chaitanya. Gadadhar Pandit was offering him chewing spices. Nityananda Prabhu was holding an umbrella over his head. Another was fanning him with chamara. Others were bathing him with water. Others were singing in the kirtan. And here was a simple maidservant lady way in the back, just bringing water from the Ganges, putting them on the floor, and then the devotees would pick it up and bring. Sri Chaitanya wanted to teach the world a crucial lesson. It's not who we are in our position in society. He is pleased only by the sincerity of our heart. This lady, she wanted nothing for herself. She wanted no attention. She was not concerned that Lord Gauranga even noticed that she existed. She was just happy to be the servant of the servant of the servant of his devotees, to do this most menial servant of just bringing water. But the Lord sees the heart. He looked at her. He asked Srivas, "Please tell me, who is that?" Srivas said, "She's a maidservant." "What is her name?" "Her name is Dukhi." Dukhi means sad. I guess because she was so poor and came from such a unfortunate family that she was called Dukhi, a miserable person. Lord Chaitanya looked at her and said, "The name Dukhi does not sit properly within my heart, not for her. From this day, I declare her to be Sukhi, happy." And with the name, he gave her ecstatic love of God, the ultimate perfection of life. That which wealthy people who give massive sums of money to temples cannot achieve. That which yogis perform austerities for many lifetimes. Jnanis study scriptures birth after birth. They cannot achieve. But this little lady, Dukhi, she attained the highest perfection of life because of her sincere, humble desire to be the servant of the servant of the servant. After the Abhishekam, they dried his body. They anointed him with scented sandalwood oils. They put on garments and ornaments. They offered him Padya and Achman and Madhuparak. Then Lord Chaitanya said, "Bring me my bhoga." So they brought him some sweets, put it in his hand, he immediately ate it. Said, give me more. They brought him more sweets. He ate. Coconuts. He ate. Whatever they brought him, they were eating. The devotees were running out to the marketplaces and buying everything they can get and having all kinds of people bringing it in. Within a matter of minutes, the Lord ate thousands of bananas, thousands of coconuts, hundreds of barrels, not pots, hundreds of barrels of yogurt, condensed milk, hundreds of barrels of Ganges water, mountains and mountains and mountains of sandeshas and rasgullas and other types of Bengali sweets. He was fulfilling all their desires. And he was just smiling and nodding his head and just kept his hand out, more, more. Then the Lord revealed to the devotees what was their past lives and revealed himself as the worshipable Lord of their hearts. He first said to Srivas, said, do you remember many years ago, you went to the ashram of Devananda Pandit? You're such a great devotee of Krishna that when you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, you see Krishna in your heart of hearts, and it brings you great love. So in his ashram, you heard Devananda Pandit discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, and that awakened such a love of Krishna in your heart that you actually went into a trance and cried out Krishna's names. Now, the students of Devananda Pandit, they're not devotees, nor is their teacher. So they could not understand the glory of a Vaishnav. They simply thought you were just a sentimentalist and you were causing a disturbance. So the students picked you up harshly, took you outside, and threw you on the ground. And that rascal teacher did nothing to stop them. When you came to consciousness, you saw you were all alone, in the dust, thrown out. You felt very bad. So you went home and remained alone. At that time, because I was so pleased with you, every time you read Srimad Bhagavatam, I filled your heart with ecstatic love, and you didn't know how that was happening. That was me. Do you remember, Srivas? Srivas wept in gratitude. Then he turned to Gangadas Pandit, who was Lord Gauranga's teacher when he was younger. He said, Gangadas, do you remember many years ago that traumatic night where the Malecha king attacked Navadweep and was plundering innocent people's homes? And the soldiers personally came to attack you. And with your whole family, you fled from your house. You were running, 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 trying to get away, but the soldiers were coming. He came to the bank of the Ganges, but it was late at night, and there was no boatman to take you across. And you knew what would happen if they caught you. They would have raped and molested your wife and your children. And you were crying out, Krishna, to save you. But there was nowhere to go. And the soldiers were coming. Do you remember, Gangadas? From the middle of nowhere, a boatman on a boat happened to come, and you screamed out, oh, boatman! Please deliver my family. I will be eternally indebted to you. Please save me. Save me. Otherwise, I will surely die.
Ganga Dust, you were about to commit suicide.
Rather than let them abuse your family, I descended from Vaikuntha in the form of that boatman to save you.
Ganga Dust Pandit fell to the ground unconscious in gratitude. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu noticed that the night was coming.
All day long he was just fulfilling the desires of the devotees and doing Nam Sankirtan.
They lit lamps. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told the devotees, bring Sridhar. Most of them didn't even know who is this Sridhar.
He said he lives in the outskirts of the town, but he's constantly chanting my names. Just go toward the outskirts of the town and you'll hear him loudly chanting, because he chants all night. Follow that sound and then bring him here.
We know the story of Sridhar. He was a very simple man who made his living just by selling some of the products of a banana tree. Sometimes he would get the stalk of a banana tree and he would buy it, very cheap price, and he would cut it in different sections, small pieces, and then sell it for a very small profit. He would sell the banana leaves as plates. Whatever bananas he could get, he would sell. Sell the banana flowers. Very, very simple. But he was more honest, or let us say equally in his honesty, to Maharaj Yudhisthira. He wasn't concerned with making big profit. From the business perspective of today, there's nobody like him. His idea was how to somehow or other barely survive and make as little profit as possible. He would make his price the least he could possibly get by with, because he was afraid he would cheat somebody.
Hare Krishna.
And whatever he got, the first half he utilized to worship Mother Ganga. Because Mother Ganga is the Lord's own energy, who is appearing like a divine devotee, who's doing the Lord's will of purifying people of their sins and bestowing bhakti. So what a great service to worship her. He lived in such poverty. Every day, when Nimai was a child and a student, he would go to Sridhar's. He didn't even have a shop. He just on the side of the road. And every day he would debate with Sridhar for minimum 2 or 3 hours about the price of his bananas. He would say, Sridhar, how much is this? He would quote the fairest price. Nimai would say, why are you cheating me? Too much. I will give you half. Sridhar said, this is a very fair price. He said, no, I will give you half. In fact, I'll just take it for nothing. Sridhar said, well, how do you expect me to maintain? You keep coming every day and just taking. Either taking it for half or taking it for nothing. And the Lord would say, I know what kind of wealth you have, but you're hiding it. You are deceiving the world. Someday I will reveal your wealth. Sridhar said, I'm not hiding anything. Whatever you see is what I am. Lord Chaitanya said, you worship Ganga? Well, I am the source and the father of the Ganga, so you should give me everything. He would hold his ears. It is said that when people get older, as they grow up, they become more grave, but you're becoming more restless with every day. Are you not afraid of offending Mother Ganga? One day, Lord Chaitanya said to Sridhar, why do you worship Krishna? What is he doing for you? Look at the worshippers of the snake goddess next door to you and the other goddesses. They have big meals, fat bellies, nice clothes, good houses. Look at you. You're emaciated. Your clothes, there's more holes in your clothes than there are clothes. And it's all patches. Sridhar couldn't even afford needle and thread. When there were holes in his clothes, he just tied the two sides into a knot to close it. He was poor. And his house, it was just a straw shack. When it would rain, the water would come through the roof. And he had no furniture. The only furniture he had was one old, battered iron pot that he kept outside. Sridhar, what is Krishna doing for you? Look at you. Sridhar said, my Lord. He didn't say my Lord, because he didn't know he was the Lord yet. He said, I have everything I want and more. In my experience in the world, I see kings with royal garments and very, very nice food, and I see the birds. They live in a tree. The only clothes is their feathers, and they just eat whatever berries are in the trees. I don't see any difference between the king and the bird. Time is passing in the same way for both of them. I'm happy chanting Krishna's names. What do I need? That was Sridhar. He was so unknown that practically no one even knew his name. They just called him Kolavecha, the banana seller. But when Lord Chaitanya manifested his Sankirtan pastimes, Sridhar understood him to be the Supreme Lord. Lord Chaitanya called for him. The devotees went to Sridhar's house. They said, Sridhar, Lord Chaitanya is calling for you. Sridhar said, me? I'm nothing. I'm nobody. Why? Why would he want me? No, he wants you now. Sridhar was so overwhelmed, he fell unconscious. This is the symptom of a Vaishnav. A Vaishnav doesn't think, I deserve the Lord's mercy. If you think you deserve, then it's not mercy at all. When you think you don't deserve, then it's really mercy. We simply want to serve and please the Lord and pray for that mercy. So the devotees somehow or other carried Sridhar and brought him
to Srivas Thakur's home.
There, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu,
he said, Sridhar, look and behold my opulence.
Kulavecha Sridhar looked up and he saw Lord Chaitanya transform. He had a beautiful form of Krishna. His complexion was dark like the tamal tree, peacock feather in his crown, and his hair, his beautiful blackish hair, like shining silk, was circling his moon-like face. His lips, bright red like the brimba fruit, smiled upon Sridhar. His teeth like pure white rows of pearls. His nose like the freshly blossomed sesame flower. His chest was wide, his waist was thin. He had shining yellow garments, beautiful Vajayanti mala. And on his right side was Balaram, whose complexion was white like the spring cloud, with blue garments. The two brothers had effulgent like millions of suns emanating from their bodies. There he saw Lord Brahma with four heads, Lord Shiva with five heads, Shukadev Goswami, Sanat Kumar, Narada Muni, all praising the glories of Krishna Balaram. Then he saw unlimited goddesses showering flowers and praising the Lord. He saw the forests of Vrindavan all around him. Kulavecha Sridhar fell unconscious. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu touched him, said, Sridhar, get up and ask for any boon. All these days and all these nights you have been calling out my holy names, and now I have come to reciprocate with your love. Kulavecha Sridhar said, my lord, I am nothing but a dog. Lord Chaitanya said, offer me prayers. Sridhar said, what can I say? I am illiterate. I'm a fool. I don't know how to offer prayers. Lord Chaitanya said, everything you speak is in glorification of me. Just speak. Because he had such a desire to glorify the Lord, at that moment, the goddess Saraswati appeared on his tongue to perfectly articulate with words what was in his heart of hearts. All glories to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to that Lord who is Krishna himself in Goloka, who is Vishvambar, the nourisher of the entire world, who is nourishing the world through the Sankirtan movement. All glories to the son of Sachi Devi, who is Navadweep Chandra, the moon who is giving the light of love of God to all of Navadweep. Within your body resides pure devotional service. The greatest wealth, the greatest treasure in all of creation. What is that power of bhakti that you keep within your heart and that you only bestow upon those who are supremely fortunate? The greatest secret
of all the scriptures is how you are defeated by the love of your devotee. Bhishma, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he vowed that he would make you break your promise. Krishna promised before the battle of Kurukshetra that he would not lift a weapon and he would not fight. He would only serve as a chariot driver. But Bhishma fought with Arjuna, had Arjuna in such a helpless condition when Bhishma was about to kill him. Krishna, you lifted the wheel of a chariot with eyes glowing red with anger and attacked Bhishma. Bhishma knew you would do that. Because in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna told Arjuna, you declare it boldly. Konteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. I will always protect my devotee. Bhishma knew you would break your own promise to protect the promise of your devotee. Why? Because you are defeated by the love of a Vaishnav. And Yashodamai, when you were a little child, she tied you up with ropes. No one can tie up and bind the Supreme Lord. You tried to run away because you are defeated by the love of your devotee. And Satyabhama, when she wanted the Parijata flower tree, she saw, Rukmini, you gave her a Parijata flower from Indra's tree. She said, I want the tree. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Krishna Surya San Maya Haya Andhakar. Maya is darkness and Krishna is light. We can appreciate how nice light is. Without Krishna, the whole world is darkness. And the gopas, because of bhakti, devotional service, they defeat you in games, they defeat you in wrestling, and they carry you on their shoulders. I mean, you carry them on your shoulders. Every living being is carrying you as a super soul within their hearts. By the power of your of devotional service, Ananta Shesha is carrying all the universes on his head. Just by a blink of your eye, you can destroy the entire cosmic manifestation. But yet, defeated by Sri Dhamma, you carry him on your back to show the whole world, I am defeated. The greatest of all truths, my Lord, is how you are conquered by the love of your devotees. When a devotee begs for pure devotional service, that devotee conquers you. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so pleased with Kulavecha Sridhar's prayers, he asked him, please ask for a benediction. Kulavecha Sridhar said, there's nothing I want, my Lord. I'm satisfied. Lord Chaitanya said, ask, ask for anything. Look at how poor you are, practically starving.
Nothing. I can give you so many comforts. I can give you the 8 mystic cities. Anything you want, ask.
Kulabhetra Sridhar said, "My lord, why are you trying to do business with me? Just see Kulabhetra Sridhar's consciousness." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would always bargain with Sridhar, and ultimately Sridhar would give him anything he wanted. But Sridhar would not bargain with the Lord in this sense. He says, "I have not given my life to you because I want something in return. My life is yours for your pleasure. Please do not tempt me with benedictions. I'll give you the wealth of the King of Heaven. Ask." "So what will I do with that? That will only be a disturbance to me. I'll give you the mystic powers of the greatest of the yogis. Don't tempt me with these things. I have no need for mystic powers. Give you liberation? What do I need liberation for? Ask for something. Ask." Kulabhetra Sridhar said, "Please, my lord, be peaceful. I don't want anything." Lord Chaitanya said, "I am peaceful, but I want to give you something. For my pleasure, ask for something." Kulabhetra Sridhar, he said, "If it is for your pleasure, I'll ask for something. Let that little Brahmin boy who would come to steal my bananas, let him be my master birth after birth after birth. Let that little Brahmin boy who would come and argue with me for hours and hours a day over the price of a banana leaf, let him always be my master, and let me have the treasure of the dust of his lotus feet in my heart, birth after birth after birth. I want nothing except this. In whatever birth I take, let my mind always be fixed on the beautiful form of that little Nimai coming to steal my bananas from me. I want nothing else but to be the servant of the servant of your servants." When Kulabhetra Sridhar said like this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was overwhelmed. He said, "Sridhar, I offer you this benediction. For the rest of eternity, your heart will be filled with pure, unalloyed devotional service to me and my devotees." All the devotees screamed out very loud, "Jai!
Jai!
Rivo!" Anyone who sincerely hears this narration will receive the supreme treasure of pure love. Lord Chaitanya wanted to teach the world through Kulabhetra Sridhar that one cannot achieve spiritual perfection by knowledge, by high birth, by having large amount of followers. All of these things are meaningless to the Lord. Wealth, fame, knowledge. It is only the simple,
desire to please the Lord through devotion that conquers the Lord. Wherever we find that in anyone, we understand that is true wealth. And a Vaishnava must have this consciousness. We should not be led astray by the influences of this material world. We are not impressed by people in high positions, even by people with great knowledge, with great followings, with great wealth, with great abilities. We are impressed by the humility, the sincerity, and the eagerness to serve. And everything else has substance and value when it's based on that principle. It's like Srila Prabhupada explained, if you have 100 zeros or 1,000 zeros or 1,000,000 zeros, the difference is a lot. It fills up many pieces of paper between one zero and 1,000,000 zeros. But they're all zero. They're empty. Unless there is a one in the front, Krishna. So whether you have 1,000,000 zeros in terms of material qualifications, or whether you have one little zero, what is all important is that one. And what is that one? The sincere, humble aspiration to please Krishna through devotion. And later on, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed for all time to come that Kuldaveitra Sridhar was the wealthiest man that ever lived because of his devotion. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then turned to Advaitacharya, said, Nara, ask for any benediction. Advaitacharya said, I'm seeing you now manifesting your form of the Supreme Lord. Everything I prayed for so many years has been fulfilled. There's nothing else I can ask of you. The Lord said, Advaita, do you remember? You would study Bhagavad Gita and preach. Every single verse you only explained in terms of pure devotional service. And if ever there was a verse that you didn't fully understand how it was specifically about pure unalloyed bhakti, you would be very much disturbed. You wouldn't sleep at night. You would fast until the answer came. And somehow or other, while you'd be fasting, I would put you to sleep. And then I'd appear to you in a dream, as a Brahmin, or in some other way, and I would reveal to you how that verse meant pure devotional service. Well, there was one verse that I never revealed to you. You were fasting and fasting for so many days. This is how he studied the scripture. He's an acharya, teaching by his example. We read Prabhupada's books. And then somebody asks, what did you read today? Say, I forgot. Did you understand what you read today? I think so. Some of it. But Advaitacharya, every word, he wouldn't go on to the next word till he really, really comprehended and understood what was being said. And if he didn't understand, he would just ponder it and do research on it and fast and pray.
So he was fasting. The Lord said, that one night, you were fasting for so many days, so I appeared to you in a dream, and I said, Adwaita, eat. When you fast, I fast. I can't eat any bhoga if you're not eating. You're my devotee. Now you just cook nice prasad, offer it to the deities, eat it, and I'll reveal to you that verse at a later date. Have faith in my words. Do you remember that? That was many years ago, Adwaita Prabhu. Well, today I am going to reveal that verse. Everywhere are my eyes and my legs and my hands. All pervading, I see everything. I can take offerings from everywhere. In this way, the super soul exists. Adwaitacharya wept tears of gratitude as the Lord reciprocated with him. Then Lord Chaitanya cast his glance toward Murari Gupta. He said, Murari, look! Murari looked. He saw where Lord Chaitanya was sitting was Ramchandra. His complexion was green like the durba grass. He was holding a beautiful golden bow. On one side was Lakshman, on the other was Sita. They were all sitting together on a magnificent jeweled throne. And all around, in all directions, were thousands and thousands and thousands of heroic monkey kings with their hands together offering prayers. And then Murari Gupta happened to see that he had a tail. And he had a body of a monkey. He fell unconscious. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cried out, Oh monkey, get up! Oh monkey, get up! Don't you remember? That demon, Ravana, has stolen Sita. Don't you remember you went to Sri Lanka? And that demon Ravana who stole Sita, he lit your tail on fire. And then you jumped to every house and you burned the entire city of Sri Lanka down. Don't you remember that? Look, this is Lakshman, who's your very life and soul. To save his life, you lifted the Gandhamadana mountain and flew in the air for thousands of miles. And here is your beloved Sita, the life of your life, your ultimate worshipable object. Seeing her torment in the Ashok Grove of Ravana, you wept, shoreless ocean of tears. You do not remember, but now I recall for you, I am Ram, your beloved Lord, and you are Hanuman. Ask any boon, and I will fulfill your desire. Murari Gupta replied, My Lord, I want nothing. The Lord said, Ask. Ask for a boon. So the only thing I want is you can grant me this boon, that I may always sing your glories, that I may never forget you, and that birth after birth after birth, I will live in the company of those devotees who always consider you to be the master and themselves to be the servant. I am the lowest, most insignificant. But if you want to fulfill my one desire, let me always remember you, sing your names and glories, and be in the company of your devotees. That's all I want.
The Lord blessed him. The Lord told all the devotees that anyone who thinks Murari Guptas to be just a simple householder who happens to be a doctor will be condemned to hellish suffering. Because although he's a doctor, he heals the body, the mind, and the soul. By the way, this was the idea that Bhaktivedanta Hospital came from. Because Krishna, whose name is Murari, is Gupta, hidden within his heart. Therefore, he is Murari Gupta. Murari, I grant you the benediction you desire. That for the rest of eternity, you will always be in the association of my devotees singing my glories. All the devotees celebrated Murari Gupta's good fortune by calling out, Jai!
Hari Bol!
Anyone who hears this story Vrindavan Das Thakur tells will achieve pure love and devotion. Shall I continue? Thank you. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then turned his glance to Haridas Thakur. Haridas, your body is better than mine. Do you remember? Long ago, when that Mughal ruler, influenced by that demoniac Qazi, sentenced you to death, to whip you and beat you through all the 22 marketplaces of Phuliyagram, as they were beating you, lashing your body ruthlessly, pulling your hair, spitting on you, kicking you, blaspheming you, dragging you through the streets publicly. I could not tolerate. I descended from Vaikuntha with my Sudarshan Chakra to sever their heads. But Haridas, in your heart of hearts, you saw no fault in them. Your only desire was their welfare. You cared nothing for your own pains. Your mind was totally immersed in praying for their well-being. In your heart of hearts, you were praying, my Lord Krishna, please forgive them. Please give them mercy. Please give them your love. I could not interfere with your sentiments. Your prayers of compassion was more powerful than me. I was conquered. My Sudarshan Chakra became inactive. I could not harm them. So I laid my body over yours and took every one of those lashings. And Haridas, just see. Then the Lord revealed on his own body the brutal scars and lash marks of the whips and the sticks of those tormentors. Haridas Thakur, when he saw that, he fell to the ground, weeping and weeping. Haridas Thakur said, my Lord, please, please be merciful to me. I'm the greatest sinner. I'm untouchable. If someone sees me,
they become so polluted that they have to immediately jump in the Ganges to bathe. But you are so merciful that you never abandon anyone who remembers you. Even if a worm or insect remembers you, you will be there to deliver them. But I am so unfortunate that I have no capacity to sincerely remember you. In the court of the Kurus, Dushasana, on the order of Duryodhana, dragged in Draupadi, the wife of the Pandavas. He was ordered to strip her naked in the public assembly, a fate worse than death to a chaste woman. Draupadi tried to hold on to her sari, but Dushasana, his arms were like thousands of elephants in strength. She turned to her husbands, but they could not help. She turned to Bhishma. He put his head down. Called out for the help of Dhritarashtra. He put his head down. There was nobody to help her, and she had no strength to protect herself. At that time, she cried out your holy names, Hey Krishna, Hey Govinda. And she remembered you sincerely, taking shelter in the core of her heart. And then, my Lord, you manifested yourself as an unlimited sari of cloth. As Dushasana pulled and pulled and pulled, the sari came off her, but always remained on her until he was exhausted. Simply because she remembered you, you delivered her. And do you remember, my Lord, Parvati, the consort of Shiva? She was surrounded by witches who were about to torture and kill her. But simply by remembering you, you descended and destroyed all of those witches and protected her. And little Prahlad, only 5 years old. His demoniac father, Hiranyakashipu, threw him in boiling oil, threw him from the top of massive mountains, shoved him to the bottom of oceans, fed him horrible, deadly poison. He had no strength to protect himself. But simply because he remembered you, you were there to deliver him. And the Pandavas, when they were living in Kamyavan, Duryodhana sent Durvasa Muni after you had already eaten from Draupadi's magical pot. He came with 60,000 disciples. For lunch. And if you didn't feed him, he would have cursed you. At that time, you sent him to the Jamuna to take his bath. And Draupadi and Yudhisthira, they didn't know what to do, how to feed 60,000 people and prepare a feast in a matter of minutes. They remembered you, my Lord, and you appeared and said, please, give me some food. Yudhisthira Maharaj, Draupadi, first we can't feed Durvasa Muni. Now our beloved Lord comes, we have nothing for him. He said, no, bring the pot. And you looked at the very bottom of the pot and saw one little tiny shred of a vegetable stuck to the bottom, and you picked that up and ate it. And because you are the root of all existence,
By watering the root of the tree, all parts of the tree are satisfied. Durvasmuni and all of his 60,000 disciples in the Jamuna, all of a sudden, they became so filled up in their bellies as if they severely overate. They went, and then you sent Bhima. You told Bhima, pick up your club. Just pick up your club and go to the river Yamuna and announce to Durvasmuni, the big feast is served. Come. Bhima was, but there's nothing here. We have nothing. He said, just do it. Krishna said, just do it. Even the shred was gone. And he was going to announce a big feast. So Bhima was faith in Krishna. He ran with his club. He said, Durvas, the feast is being served. And Durvasmuni was thinking, if we go there after he cooks this big feast just for us and we can't eat anything, God knows what Bhima's going to do with that club. So they all ran for their lives. In this way, you always protect those who remember you. And Ajamil, even though he was such a sinful rogue, committed every type of sinful activity. At the time of his death, the Yamadutas came to drag him away with ropes to the abode of Yamaraj. And in fear, seeing the gruesome forms of the Yamadutas, he happened to look to his little son, Narayan. And he called out Narayan's name. And when he called out his son's name, he remembered you. Because when he was a little boy, he was a devotee. By calling out the name of his son, Narayan, he remembered you. And for that one minute of remembering you, offenselessly, the Vishnu Dutas came and rescued him. And in due course of time, he attained the highest perfection of Vaikuntha. That is the power of remembering you. But my Lord, although I am chanting your name so much, I cannot sincerely remember you. Please, please do not reject me, my Lord. Please do not reject me. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Haridas Thakur to accept a boon. Thakur said, there is one boon that I have been longing to achieve for a long, long time. If you can fulfill that, all my desires will be fulfilled. In every birth that I may take, allow me to attain the treasure of the food remnants of those devotees who are surrendered to you. Let that be my primary worship, birth after birth after birth, to take the Maha Maha Prasad that is left on the plates of your devotees. I am so arrogant. I yearn to be seen by others as an important person. I long for prestige. That is my abominable condition. Although I'm lower than a dog, please, my Lord, please forgive me. And now look, I'm asking for something so high. I'm asking for the remnants of your devotees' food. What impudence for me to ask for such something of such glorious quality. My Lord, just let me be a dog near the house of your devotee, so I may sometimes attain the food that falls out from their mouths. And then he begged again and again and again, let me be the servant of the servant of your servants. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in ecstasy. He said, Haridas Thakur, your boon is fulfilled. I grant you this. Anyone who hears you speak, anyone who hears you chanting the holy name of the Lord, anyone who remembers you with sincere devotion, I will give myself to that person. Haridas Thakur, let me tell you this. All the wealth in all the universes, in all the cosmic manifestation, is not equal in my heart, in value, to one of my devotees who sincerely chants my holy names. Haridas Thakur, because of your devotion, you are my master. I am your servant. I will today tell you a secret. I am a prisoner in your heart. Those who worship me with love, I eternally become a prisoner in their hearts. And that is my greatest joy. Today I grant you this benediction. Without offense, you will forever serve me and all the Vaishnavas. The devotees screamed out, much louder, please. The Lord wanted to teach that it is not by high birth, it is not by material opulence, it is not by any material consideration that one receives the mercy of the Lord. It is only by the intense desire to have that. The intense desire for pure devotional service. Prahlad was born in a family of demons. Hanuman was born in a family that wasn't even human, monkeys. And Haridas Thakur was untouchable. The Lord wanted to show the world the glory of devotional service. Should we continue or should we go to Damodar Astakam? Should I speak one more story or should we go? How many will stay if I speak one more story? So I am obliged. I am a prisoner of your desire. The Lord was giving everyone just what they wanted. Some devotees were praying for others. One devotee said, my Lord, please grant me this benediction. My father is not favorable to Krishna consciousness, and he tries to keep me home. He doesn't allow me to come to Srivasangam and to Kirtan. Please make my father favorable and change his heart so that not only does he let me come, but he becomes a devotee too. The Lord said, yes, he will become a devotee. And another person was praying, please fill my heart with genuine devotion to my guru. And some gurus were praying for their disciples, and people were praying for their children. Everyone was getting their desires fulfilled.
except one person.
The chief kirtan singer in the assembly of Vaishnavas, Mukunda Dutt. The Lord did not even look in his direction. He felt so much rejected. In an outer room, he was standing behind a curtain, weeping.
Srivas Thakur approached Lord Chaitanya. He said, "My Lord, why are you neglecting Mukunda? Whenever he sings kirtan, he melts everyone's hearts. Whenever he sings kirtans, he puts you in such transcendental pleasure. Why don't you call for him? If you don't, he won't be able to live. He's suffering."
Lord Chaitanya became very angry. He said, "Never speak to me again about that wretched Mukunda." The devotees were shocked. He said, "Never plead for that ignorant fool again."
Srivas Thakur, he said, "My Lord, he's more dear to us than our life and soul. What has he done? If he's made some offense, just tell him what the offense is. He'll atone for the offense. Please forgive him. But don't torture him in this way. What has he done, my Lord?"
The Lord said, "You have heard the saying of a person who comes before you with a blade of grass in his mouth and then touches your feet with all humility and then at the next moment picks up an iron club and smashes you on the head. That is what Mukunda has done to me."
What?
This wretched Mukunda, hypocrite. When he's with the devotees, he sings nice kirtans. He talks about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when he's with the impersonalist, he relishes the impersonalist version of the Yoga Vashishta and talks about how the Lord is formless, without personality. Whoever he goes with, he becomes just like them, just to satisfy them. Therefore, he comes to worship my form, and then he beats it with an iron club. I never want to see that wretch again. Don't show his face to me. Mukunda could hear every word. He was in agony. He was crying out loud, "I will end my life. If this life is not pleasing to the Lord, I will end it." He called out to Srivas. Said, "Srivas, please, will there ever be a day when my Lord will want to show himself before me? Will I ever be able to see the Lord again?" Srivas Thakur approached the Lord. "Mukunda wants to know, will he ever see you again?" Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with a voice like thunder, "He will only see me after 10 million births." When Mukunda heard this, he smiled. His heart erupted with gratitude. He stood there as tears poured from his eyes. And then he cried out, "I will see! After 10 million births, I will see Lord Gauranga!" He danced. He danced. And he danced.
When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw his reaction to his words, how he was splashed with bliss, Lord Chaitanya told the devotees,
"Bring Mukunda to me now."
Devotees ran to Mukunda. They said, "Mukunda, the Lord wants you to see him now." But Mukunda Dutt was in another world. He couldn't hear a word they were saying. He was still dancing, weeping, crying out, I will see, after 10 million births, I will see. Finally, the devotees had to pick him up and carry him and put him right before Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya said, "Mukunda, I am conquered by your faith in my words. I promised you after 10 million births, and you had so much faith in those words, they brought you happiness. Because of your faith, I am a prisoner in your heart." Please know, Mukunda, I only said those words jokingly. I didn't mean them. Because you give so much pleasure to all the devotees by chanting the holy names, you have never committed any offense. And even if you did, it is easily forgiven. Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat describes that when Mukunda was a young boy, he had a teacher who believed in impersonalistic school. So Lord Chaitanya remembered that. Just see the value that Mukunda Dutt gave to the darshan of the Lord. That 10 million births was such a small price. Some of us, we're disturbed that why I'm not in ecstasy? Why I don't see Krishna? It's been 35 years I'm chanting Hare Krishna. 35 years. I've even followed the four regular principles. Most of the time. And I've done so much service. Why? Why is it taking so long? Maybe it doesn't work. Maybe this process doesn't work. Sri Rupa Goswami tells us, surrender involves remaining enthusiastic under all circumstances, in pleasure or pain, health or disease, success or failure, honor or dishonor. Whatever the dualities may come upon us in this world, we should remain enthusiastic for our devotional service. Because Krishna doesn't accept simply the result of your work. He is bhavagrahi. He accepts the mood of devotion, the purpose, the aspiration in which we make our offerings. Prabhupada writes that Krishna does not accept the thing that is offered. He accepts the purpose in which it is offered. And an expression of our surrender to serve the Lord is to remain enthusiastic under all circumstances. Enthusiastic to chant the holy names, to hear about Krishna, to serve the Vaishnavas, to worship the deity, to perform our services. But that enthusiasm must be harmonized with patience. A symptom of surrender is patience.
Krishna is not our order supplier. We will go on being faithful to Krishna and serving Krishna. Ashlisya vapadiratam panashtu mama darshana maramahatam karotuva. Lord Chaitanya taught us. Whether Krishna embraces us, whether he tramples on us, or whether he makes us brokenhearted by not being present before us, we should aspire to be his servant birth after birth after birth. We have faith in Krishna's word. Man manab avamad bhakto madhyajim nam namaskuru mame vaisheshi satyam te pratijani priyoshime. Krishna gives his promise. Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. I will reveal myself to you without fail. Mukunda Dutt had such faith in the Lord of God, he was willing to go on practicing Krishna consciousness even with no apparent result for the next 10 million births. That is patience. Because in the association of devotees, we develop this faith that when Krishna sees it is the right time, he will clean us of our lust and our envy and our pride, greed, anger, and illusion. We just have to practice sincerely the path of bhakti with humility and enthusiasm and patience. We just remain loyal and chaste to our Guru Parampara, and we know 100% for sure everything will be revealed in Krishna's time. And he will put us through many, many situations to purify us. And one of the most difficult situations to purify us is when we just don't see that we're becoming paramhamsas. After years and years, we're still struggling. What does that mean? Krishna just wants you to keep struggling. Arivo. But he's within our heart. He sees our sincerity and he will give us the result. That is gratitude. A humble heart is a grateful heart. A proud heart thinks, I deserve. Where is it? And whatever we get, is that all? But a grateful heart feels, I do not deserve. And whatever comes, yes, my Lord, thank you. Tatenu kampam susamikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam. Even in a miserable situation, a devotee with folded palms thanks Krishna. I deserve worse. Thank you. You are my only shelter. Let me just remember you and serve you sincerely. That is the price of Krishna consciousness. It is not cheap. Mukunda Dutt had a grateful heart. He didn't take it cheaply. How many of you would be content struggling in devotional service for the next 10 million births, blissfully knowing that you'll get it? You'll get Krishna consciousness then. That is the standard of Mukunda Dutt's devotional service. Srila Prabhupada said, if you just sincerely follow my instructions, you will get Krishna consciousness in this life. But even a few years in this life seems too much for us. Srila Prabhupada has condensed it and made it so simple by his causeless mercy. Mukunda Dutt was looking at Lord Chaitanya and he was filled with bliss. And then he offered prayers. He said, I am a fool. I have no faith. Therefore, I am as useless as a pile of burnt ashes. But still, I feel bliss when I see you. How is that? Why? It is your causeless mercy. Duryodhana, he saw you. You came right into his palace in your original form of Krishna. And he wanted to arrest you. He wasn't happy seeing you because you were on the side of the Pandavas. He wanted to arrest you and put you in prison. And when the soldiers came to arrest you, right before Duryodhana's eyes, you manifested Virat Rupa, the universal form. Yogis strive to see this Virat Rupa for millions of births, and they can hardly see it. You revealed it right before Duryodhana. But he wasn't happy. He was miserable seeing your Virat Rupa. He was miserable seeing you. Because he had no devotion. And therefore he was vanquished. And those kings, when you went to kidnap Rukmini, all those kings, Jarasandha, Rukmi, Shishupal, they saw you. I'm Garuda. And then on a beautiful chariot, in your majestic form as the King of all kings, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But they felt miserable seeing you. They picked up their arrows and fought you. And ultimately they were vanquished. And then, my Lord, you appeared as a beautiful boar, holding the earth in your tusks. All the demigods were praising you. All the sages were worshiping you. And the person who was closest to your darshan was Hiranyaksha. But he did not feel any pleasure seeing you. He felt anxiety. He tried to kill you. And ultimately he was vanquished. And the beautiful form of Narasingha Dev, worshipped throughout the creation. You manifested that form before Hiranyakashipu. Was he happy to see you? He was miserable. And ultimately he was vanquished. But all these great kings, these powerful leaders, these great scholars, they found no happiness in seeing you because they had no devotion. But Kubja, just a simple outcast, hunchback woman who was a maidservant of Kamsa, when she saw you, she was in bliss because she had a desire to serve you. The Yajnapati Patnis, the wives of the Brahmins, their husbands, they felt no happiness seeing your cowherd boys. They wanted not to come to see you, but the Brahmins' wives, they felt the highest ecstasy in seeing you because of their desire to selflessly serve you. And Sudama, the garland maker in Mathura, just by seeing you, he attained the ultimate fortune. You fulfilled his desires. You gave him the benediction that every desire that he has in this world will be fulfilled, and when he dies, he'll go back home, back to Godhead. Who would like a benediction like that? Why did you give him that benediction? He was not a qualified material person. But he had the simple desire to serve you. But Kamsa, he saw the same form. But he wasn't happy. He was envious. He was angry.
He saw your form and hated you and wanted to kill you.
And ultimately he was vanquished because he had no bhakti. This is the power of devotion.
Ananta Shesha carries all the universes on his hoods
by the power of devotion to you.
Lord Shiva has the power to give auspiciousness to everyone and anyone because of the power of his devotion to you. Narada Muni is the greatest of all sages who throughout the creation is roaming planet to planet, chanting the holy names because of devotion to you.
And Srila Vyasadeva, he wrote all the Vedas, but he was not satisfied until his guru Narada Muni told him to write the Srimad Bhagavatam to exclusively glorify the path of pure devotion. And when he glorified pure devotion through the pages of the Bhagavat Purana, Vyasadeva felt ultimate happiness. But Mukunda Das said, "My Lord, I am lower than a worm. I have no real devotion. How is it that I'm happy upon seeing you? That is your causeless mercy." Hearing Mukunda Datta speaking with such humility from the sincere feelings of his heart, Lord Chaitanya wept tears. Lord Chaitanya called out, "Mukunda Datta, whenever you sing, I will come and manifest myself within your heart. Whatever you said is true. That is the power of devotion. I am conquered by the love of my devotees, and I fill my devotee with joy because they give me so much joy. I will give you an example. That washerman in Mathura, he performed many, many births of austerities. And as a result, he got to see me face to face. But because he did not have a service attitude, due to his association with Kamsa, he felt no pleasure in seeing me. Rather, when I asked him for the clothes of Kamsa, he became angry on me. And ultimately, I had to deliver him another way. Mukunda Das, I place pure devotional service in your heart. And I give you the benediction that whenever you sing, all the devotees, their hearts will melt. You will be dearer than life to all the Vaishnavas. And anytime I incarnate, you will be with me singing my glories." Seeing the mercy of the Lord on Mukunda Das and the love of the Mukunda Das for Lord Gauranga, devotees loudly cried out, "Riva!" Anyone who hears this narration with a sincere heart will sing in kirtan with Mukunda Das. Anyone who feels happiness upon hearing this narration will see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu face to face. Srivas Thakur was very, very kind to all the devotees. Something special about this particular pastime that reveals the heart of a Vaishnav. We find the Lord Chaitanya was fulfilling every desire of every devotee fully. He was manifesting the form of Ram to the Ram Bhaktas, Krishna to the Krishna Bhaktas. He was giving pure devotional service, filling them with ecstasy. But when they saw Mukunda not getting his desires fulfilled, no one was happy. Srivas Thakur, Advaitacharya, Gadadhar Pandit, Gangadas Pandit, Kolavecha Sridhar, Murari Gupta, they were all weeping in pain to see the suffering of Mukunda Datta. This is the nature of a Vaishnava's heart. A devotee is even more concerned with someone else getting the mercy of the Lord than themselves. This is totally contrary to the materialistic way of consciousness. In material life, if somebody gets something better than us, we become envious. And even in spiritual circles, if we see somebody becoming empowered, or somebody getting blessed, or somebody getting special attention from the Lord, the Guru, or the Vaishnavas, we become envious. Why not me? But the test that we're actually making real progress in Krishna consciousness is when we feel pleasure and joy seeing others getting mercy. The devotees were not concerned that they got all their desires fulfilled. They were more concerned that Mukunda Datta get his desires fulfilled. That is the nature of a Vaishnava's heart. Krishna tells Arjuna, "You can understand my words because you have no envy." Parikshit Maharaj was the perfect recipient of Srimad Bhagavatam because he had an intense enthusiasm to hear and he was not envious. Even the child that cursed him to die, he was his well-wisher. Envy is deep-seated within the heart of every conditioned soul. Even devotees, until we become very, very highly purified, we must see that envy as an enemy. We should not act according to the dictations of that envy. We should not speak it. But we should just do the opposite. If we feel envious of another Vaishnav, we should praise them. We should serve them, knowing that that will please Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explains that if we take pleasure in seeing another's good fortune, Krishna showers his mercy upon us. This must be taken very seriously. If somebody does something very great, and you can't do so great, that person may be proud and not get so much mercy. But if you take pleasure in seeing that person being empowered by the Lord and getting blessings of the Lord, you can make more spiritual advancement than him or her just because of your being a well-wisher.
When we see someone prospering spiritually or getting special mercy, special recognition, special empowerment, whatever it may be, if we take pleasure in their good fortune, Krishna showers his mercy on us.
But if we're envious, he withdraws his mercy from us. So whoever we are, we can make perfect spiritual progress if we just understand the attitude of these Vaishnavas in this beautiful pastime. Genuine well-wishers for each other. Willingness to make sacrifices for the welfare of each other. Just a few days ago, our beloved god brother Nirguna Prabhu left this world here in Sri Mayapur Dham. I was told by Janmastami Prabhu and others how many devotees were sacrificing so much of their life and energy to serve him, to chant kirtan for him. And most of them never even met him before he came in his last days. We were speaking the other day. Our very dear godbrother, Shyam Sundar Prabhu, he had a tumor in his liver. His liver was disintegrated. He was soon to die. The only hope of saving his life was a liver transplant. Now, almost every liver transplant is somebody dies who's an organ donor, and if that dead person has the compatible liver to you, then they take out his liver, put it in ice, ship it on an airplane, and then they immediately have to do a surgery for you. But usually, you have to wait a year or two before such a liver is available. So most people die. But about 15 years ago, they created a living donor system where they cut you open and take out 2/3 of your liver and put it in the other person's body. Hare Krishna. It's not a minor surgery. It's very serious, very painful, and dangerous. No one except immediate relatives will even consider giving 2/3 of their liver to someone else. Shyam Sundar Prabhu has 2 daughters. Their livers were not compatible. I happened to be in Seattle, Washington with Malati Prabhu and Janaki Prabhu, 2 of the original disciples of Srila Prabhupada. And somehow we called Shyam Sundar Prabhu and he got the news that both his daughters' livers are not compatible. He said, "It appears I'm going to die. Nothing I can do." So the 3 of us came together and thought, maybe we can find someone who wants to give their liver. So Malati Prabhu put on the internet the story of Shyam Sundar and asked if anybody wanted to donate their liver. And gave the contact information of the hospital. The hospital that actually invented this whole process, the University of Chicago. Within a matter of days, the hospital was shocked. This was historical. They got approximately 30 phone calls from America, from England, from India, from Australia, from Italy,
from Africa, of people who said, I have the same blood type. I'd like to donate my liver. In history, this has never been seen. They said, even the biggest rock stars, even the greatest Hollywood or Bollywood stars, nobody will give their liver for them. 30 people are offering their livers. They approached Shamsundar and said, who are you? He said, I'm a Hare Krishna devotee. Hey, Sewell, you have the best family that there could possibly be. Worldwide family. Amazing. And one devotee, Gopinath, he was so enthusiastic. He never met Shamsundar before in his life. And he offered his liver. He's married with a wife and a 2-year-old son. He's from our Radha Gopinath temple in Bombay. He was living in America, in New Vrindavan, doing some seva for about a year or two. He offered it. Not easy. He had to go through all kinds of tests. His first test was Janmashtami. Most of the day of Janmashtami, while we were all having kirtan and harikata and serving the deities, he was getting all kinds of tests, laying under scanning machines and getting blood taken out of him. Then during the whole festival of Prabhupada's Vyas Puja, he was getting more tests in a hospital. Biopsies. And ultimately, he was accepted. And he said to me, he said, I have to ask my wife. Because, you know, she's got a baby, and he may die. And he's only 2-year-old child. And his wife, Parijata Prabhu, she said, there's no greater service you can do for Srila Prabhupada, so you should do it. Whatever happens, it's what's most important is your service to Srila Prabhupada. To serve someone so dear to Srila Prabhupada, that is the greatest fortune. Nothing could be more fortunate than this. I'm happy for you. She gave blessings. And he, when I thanked him, he said, no, no, I should thank all of you. I don't deserve this service. It's just a small thing I can do to show my love for Prabhupada is by serving his servants. They both went through an 11-hour surgery. Hare Krishna. Yes, devotees extended themselves for Nirguna Prabhu. Devotees extended themselves for Shamsundar Prabhu. This is what bhakti is about, extending ourselves to inspire, enliven, and facilitate other devotees to make spiritual progress. And to the degree our happiness is found in how we give of ourselves for the sake of other Vaishnavas and for the upliftment of the conditioned souls, to that same extent, we will be empowered by divine grace. That was Srila Prabhupada's example. He prayed that every one of his disciples be better than him. Of course, that's not possible, but that was his prayer.
Prabhupada loves all of his followers. We can show our love for Prabhupada by how we love each other. And showing love is not a cheap thing. It's not about just offering obeisances and saying bancha kalpa tarubhyascha. It's about meaning those obeisances and meaning the words of bancha kalpa tarubhyascha. It's about, without envy, reaching out to serve as the servant of the servant of the servant, to help devotees in their devotional service, and to see and to feel joy when they prosper, and to feel sad when they suffer. That is love. That is what we find in this beautiful story. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tested all of them and fulfilled all their desires. Mukunda Dutt, Haridas Thakur, Murari Gupta, Kulavetra Sridhar, and all the Vaishnavas were blessed during this 21-hour ecstatic pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And how did they celebrate? By enlivening each other through the highest form of Vaishnav Seva. Connecting our hearts during Nam Sankirtan as we enthuse and enliven each other to chant the holy names. Much louder. Times louder, please. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Hari Nam Sankirtan ki jai. Sri Radha Madhava Astasaki Devi ki. Sri Narasingha Dev Bhagavan ki jai. Sri Panchatattva ki jai. Ananti Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki. Nithai Gopremanandi. Thank you very much.